The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yep, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here after episode number 13 of Survivor Island of the Idols. Steven, you good? You okay?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to... Our alignment is really off here, Rob.
Yeah, a lot of things are off tonight.
Normally, we have a chance to, you know, fix this kind of thing, and I'm not sure. I need to, like, sit on a pillow or something in order to...
Okay, all right, well...
I'm still processing a little bit. I'm still kind of, like... I'm honestly not totally sure, like, what to say. You know, we just saw a very solid, decent episode of the show, and then at the end, you have this... basically this coda to the end of the episode where Probst shows up. He informs the contestants that Dan has been pulled from the game.
Right.
And then we have a confessional from Janet where she says real world issues have intruded. You know, she could be talking about anything, right? We don't, you know, it's not. And then Tommy says, like, let's get back to this game. And then we have a slate that comes up that says there was another incident that did not involve a contestant, and Dan was pulled. And I'm not totally sure what to say.
Yeah. Well, we've had a couple of minutes to think about this in between the end of the episode and now, and I'm just seeing notes that my volume is low, and that I think has to do with I let my kids come in this room and I think touch stuff. But Steven, I think that for most of us, I feel like that number one, we're very confused right now about what's going on. I think a lot of us are really struggling to process what the show told us, and we know so little. And so that is really difficult. I think that people are also feeling like, I know personally, good riddance to Dan.
Yes.
I said at the time, at the merge, I thought he should have been pulled then. And we don't know what happened tonight. All we got was the card about another reported incident. And it sounds like that's pretty much all we're going to get for the time being. I'm sure, you know, stories leak, things get out. We will know more eventually about this incident. But as of right now, Jeff Probst did an interview with Dalton Ross and said that there's really not much that he can say right now out of respect for privacy for everybody involved. And certainly we respect, the privacy of everybody involved. Also, we don't know what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that many, many lawyers at CBS vetted the card that went up on TV and, you know, Jeff Probst's statement. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of frustrations from fans, and I'm feeling a lot of frustration at myself. You know, we've all been a witness to this drama playing out. It's affected all of us watching the show. And, you know, I think we all want something more definitive than this sort of mysterious slate. On the other hand, you know, I'm sure that to some degree, everyone involved with the production's hands are tied. And I feel frustrated to not have more information. But as you said, you know, it sounds like they can't really say anything right now. And it's almost, you know, for us to speculate is, irresponsible.
Yeah. From what we know, that there was an incident that was reported with somebody else who was not a member of the cast. And of course, you know, Survivor has hundreds of people that work on the production. And really, you know, anything could have happened with people from, you know, the transport people who take you in the boats to the audio people who get close to you with microphones and the production staff and, you know, everybody who's around. There are, you know, Fijian locals that work on the production. We just don't know what happened. From what we understand from going back to the merge, there was a warning that was given to Dan, and that we presume that that warning was zero tolerance from here on out. And somewhere that, you know, in that, you know, following that tribal council, he violated that zero tolerance warning and then was expelled from the game. And, you know, seems like that was the right decision based on what we know at this hour.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a historic moment. The first person who's ever been pulled from the game for behavior. And it sure seems like based on everything we've seen that it really was likely merited.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing just now that Kelly Kim has a statement on Twitter. Are you interested in hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. This was from Kelly _ Kim on Twitter. Tonight on CBS Survivor, Dan Spiello was kicked off the show for, once again, inappropriate touching. While Dan's dismissal has validated the concerns that I raised from the beginning of the season, I wish that no one else had to be subjected to this type of behavior. CBS and Survivor were on notice of Dan's behavior from the very first days of the game. And as Survivor fans know, shortly after I spoke up on camera, I was voted off the show. Since then, I've accepted genuine, heartfelt apologies from fellow castaways, but I've continued to feel disappointed by how this pattern of behavior was allowed to occur for so long. While I wish many things had gone differently, I'm glad that my decision to speak up made a difference. What is most important to me now is how all of us, CBS, Survivor, other organizations, and all of us as individuals, decide to learn from this story and commit to take action. Lastly, I am grateful to the many people who've reached out to me over the last few weeks to share their own stories and messages of solidarity. These messages of feeling supported and believed have been an incredible gift. Thank you, Kelly. So that was Kelly Kim's comment on what's going on with Dan. Of course, this really ends up sideswiping a interesting hour of the show where we got to see Elaine get a quite a heroic send off from the show, Stephen.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm.
No, just to sort of set up what we're talking about here. We're not ready to get into talking about Elaine, but Elaine is out, sets up a final five, which will head to the finale. And then if you also missed this news, also the finale is going to be also a unprecedented live finale that is going to tape earlier in the day. So that is another situation that we're following at this hour. There, the live finale, the 2-hour finale, and then live reunion show will still occur, but will be recorded earlier in the day and being shown on tape delay. Similar to fans of Big Brother Canada, this is how they do that live show. They record earlier in the day, and then a few hours later, it is aired.
It's one thing I wanted to address was you know, Kelly sort of talking about how, you know, hopefully this affects things going forward. You know, Jeff, in his interview with Dalton, did say that they have new processes in place. You know, I heard from some people on season 40 that at the very start of that season that they got a talk, you know, just really emphasizing that this was, you know, that there's no tolerance for any kind of indecent touching at all. Or, you know, and, you know, I've also heard from a lot of past players who were subjected to what they felt was inappropriate and, you know, in the shelter, and they never felt that they had an opportunity to speak out. And so hopefully, you know, and probably just a lot of that stuff goes on and, you know, people are afraid for their position in the game. They're afraid for how they're going to look on television. And, you know, if anything good can come out of this, hopefully it's what Kelly, you know, I don't have Kelly's statement in front of me. I was just sort of going off what you said, and what I'm still processing, so I don't have it all clear. But, you know, that this is really going to hopefully change things for a lot of people and fundamentally for the show.
Yes, that at the very least, we hope that it changes for Survivor, and we hope that, you know, stories like this end up, you know, changing things in real life also, and making situations like the one that happened with Kelly this season happen less frequently in real life. And really, we just that we're so you know, we have so little information to go off of. I know you know, yeah. So many of us are really angry that this happened. I know that you know, Stephen too, you know, especially is you know, very upset about everything that's gone on, and we just we wish we had more that we could say about this. And we're supposed to be know-it-alls and be able to come on here and tell you exactly what happened. And just at right now, for a variety of different reasons, we just don't know.
And I know that like CBS's and Jeff's hands are tied with this for legal reasons, but I do hope we get, you know, some kind of information or resolution, something that sort of like gives, like, you know, because I do feel like we're all invested in this, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we're all viewers, we're all longtime viewers, we all care about this show, we care about the people on this show, we know the people on this show, you know, we want to know, you know, why and what happened, and maybe it's not our, you know, maybe it'll never come out because of the legal reasons, but you know, I hope there's like some kind of closure that, or I don't know. I mean, something.
So one of the things that we haven't gotten yet throughout this whole process and saga is any statement whatsoever from Dan, that while all of the other cast members that were involved in the incident at the Merge, Missy and Elizabeth and Aaron, for the comments that he made at the Tribal Council, all those people put out apologies, that they all appeared very genuine and heartfelt. Dan said nothing at that time. We will wait and see if there's any sort of a statement that is forthcoming from Dan, and if he will appear at the finale coming up next week. We just will wait and see what information we end up getting throughout the course of this week. I will say that we are scheduled to have an exit interview with Elaine on the podcast. That will be tomorrow morning. So we will have a regular Elaine exit interview. I don't believe that she will be able to provide any additional information about this just because it happened after she was out of the game and at Ponderosa.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were saying, really powerful episode for Elaine. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the sad things, and Dalton just put out his season rankings, and, you know, one of the things he wrote was that for these people who have gone, you know, among the many horrible things that this Dan, like, repeated behavior has done, is that it's really overshadowed this experience for the other players who are out there having really meaningful, life-changing adventures and experiences. And, you know, Elaine, for her to talk this way about this being, you know, the one good thing that's ever happened to her in her life. And, you know, that really powerful moment with her and Janet, where Janet, you know, the kind of urged her into processing the loss of her mother. You know, it was a really beautiful story. And it's a reminder too that, like, that this show also, you know, leads to those beautiful stories. You know, that I think I think a lot of people are feeling very sour about the show in the season right now, myself included. But, you know, this Elaine story was a kind of nice reminder of, you know, there's real, you know, human beauty that comes from the experience in the show.
Yeah, just to echo what Janet said, she talked about how, you know, she's been on this earth for longer than some of the other people that are out there. And she really does believe, you know, in these dark times that there's light at the other side. And, you know, that's, you know, the only way that we can get through stuff like this when it comes up on the show, because I do believe that this is hopefully the close to what I believe to be the darkest chapter in the 20-year history of the show.
Yeah, pretty unimpeachably. And, you know, Dalton is ranking, I don't want to spoil where I'm going to spoil where he's ranking this season. It's last. It's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, Paul, give people a second. But yeah, so if you want to read the full reason why, go check out Dalton Ross's rankings over on EW.com or Dalton Ross on Twitter. But yeah, 39 out of 39. And basically his reason is Survivor is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And that this was not fun. Yeah. Keith Nail thought that Survivor wasn't fun.
Right. But this
he
is
had no
like,
idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cambodia, Stephen will attest, was a amusement park compared to what we're talking about here with this season.
Yeah, this is not fun on a different level, on a very, very fundamentally different level.
Yeah. And so We will talk about things as they come up. And you can also read Jeff Probst's interview with Dalton Ross. And again, Jeff really can not get into things for a variety of reasons. And, you know, as Stephen pointed out, we also have no idea what sort of legal conversations are going on with the parties involved in this in terms of how it was portrayed on the show and who is, upset with the way things were presented. And so, we just, you know, again, have no idea. And it's not responsible on our parts to just do rampant speculation on matters that are as serious as this. We save it for the most frivolous of things to do our rampant speculation.
Yeah, we're good at the frivolous speculation, but it's true that we are. Yeah.
And so I do want to open up this conversation over the, you know, that we talked extensively about this when it first came up at the Merge. If there are, you know, are any resources that feel like that they might be able to, you know, add something to this conversation, please reach out. I am going to be traveling to a wedding in New York over the weekend. So my recording schedule is going to be a little trickier this time around, but if somebody has something that they really feel like that they can add to this conversation, definitely hit me up and we'll try to add that to our regular slate of podcasts that we have coming up this week. All right, Stephen, you know, we do have a Survivor finale 1 week from tonight.
Rob, let me take this pause to get a pillow. I really feel like I'm on a different plane from you.
All right. So, we're going to prop Steven up. Okay. This isn't like a hemorrhoid issue or anything like that, right?
No. Okay. This is a real I just want our eyes to be on a level, you know? It's like a really
Your chair doesn't go up and down?
No, my desk does, but it, like it stops at like this height. This is as high as like. But now I feel like this is good. Look at this.
Okay.
I
mean, thank you.
I didn't like looking up to you.
We're back. Yeah. We're back. All right. So Stephen, we had Elaine go out of the game tonight. I really did think that Elaine had a real shot to win this thing, and I thought that she was going to make it through. And going into Tribal Council, I really felt like, okay, Elaine's going to come out of this, and I think she's got a great shot to win. And then the Tribal Council ended up being so Elaine-focused that I felt like, oh, yeah, Elaine's not making it out of this one.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously were invested in your last best hope at knowing us know-it-all. So I know that you were very sad to last best hope at knowing us know-it-all. I know that you were very sad to lose Elaine. But it did seem like, you know, I also thought that this, it's actually a compelling pitch. And I want to talk to you about this because the argument that, you know, if we let this goat through, it takes up one of those spots for us is something that I hear a lot. You know, it was certainly something we talked about in Cambodia with Abby. Eventually, that I think was the reason that Abby got voted out, you know, is that just that fear of her sort of holding a seat at the final three, and that the closer you let that person get to the final three, the more impossible it is to vote them out. And it's a pretty compelling argument for Lauren and for Janet, you know, that this idea that if they want to get through to the final four, like they've got to get Nora out before it's too late.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have this, you know, you have Elaine there who, if she sneaks through and makes it to the end, she wins. You got to get her out at some point. You know that. So why not now? How do you break it all down, Rob?
So I really felt like that Lauren wanted this move. I thought this was Lauren's move. She wanted it. I thought Janet wasn't on board. And I thought that once they started talking at Tribal Council, I thought it's so you could tell like Lauren's like, boy, Elaine's making some good points. So I feel like that if I'm reading it correctly, I think that Lauren wanted this. Janet said no.
Well, and partially I'm guessing because Janet has her idol that can be played at the final five, not knowing that Dean has his idol nullifier. But so from Janet's perspective, she probably feels less urgency about eliminating Nora, knowing that she has a sort of safe passage. But if Janet didn't have the idol, do you think she should be trying to get out the Noras of the game?
It's interesting because really the removal of Dan really did completely change up the dynamics of the game as well. where that it was, we saw in this episode, Dan, Dean, Tommy talking about, okay, we're going to string along Lauren, we're going to string along Janet, and this is the final three that we want, these this group of guys. And now, all of a sudden, it ends up swinging from now there is, now we're at a final five, where there are three women in play with Lauren and Nora and Janet, and all of a sudden that Nora is a very intriguing swing vote.
Yes. Also, someone noticed that Dan's removal does not give Dean the chance for his big legacy advantage.
Well, that's another reason to be even more. If we couldn't have been even more angry with Dan, we are robbed of the opportunity to see Dean play his fake legacy advantage at the final six.
And he was going to put all the votes on himself.
Potentially.
Not even knowing, certainly. I mean, the one thing, we'll get to Dean in a minute, but I was impressed with how aware he was of sort of playing for the jury, which I think not every contestant is aware of.
Yeah. But just to go back to the conversation that you started about, what is the better move, to get rid of Elaine or to get rid of Nora? That I feel like that for Janet, it's interesting because I feel like that on the one hand, Elaine was a shield. Elaine was going to absorb the votes for her and was be another person, okay, we have to get rid of now at final six. Potentially, though, that she would have been another, you know, interesting swing vote to potentially in the middle if there was some sort of a Dean, Lauren, Tommy, Janet final five.
Right. So you think that she would have been sacrificing her position. I mean, it looked like Lauren was concerned about Nora, Nora holding a spot in the final three. She also wanted her move. Like, Lauren wanted to kind of separate out from like being Tommy's sidekick. It's not totally clear to me, you know, where people, you know, it's rank the players who are left as threats. We know that everyone thought of Elaine as a threat, obviously. Janet has talked about being a threat. Last week, Lauren was the number one target. So clearly Lauren is a threat. I'm not sure why she feels she wants to make even more moves if she's already a huge target. She had a funny line about how, you know, she needed to play like her favorite Survivor idols and make big moves like Sandra. I feel like she fundamentally misunderstood Sandra's strategy there. that was not what got Sandra to the end.
Maybe it's her game changer strategy, Stephen.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's JT.
Yeah.
So, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to
twist the knife. It's a dollar. Yeah, exactly.
This is now really wild now to have the game then completely skip ahead to a final five. Do you feel like that Janet has a good shot at this thing?
I just don't. I mean, she's now, I mean, the thing is, now that Elaine is gone, and here's where the logic of Janet voting at Nora was, is that now that Elaine is gone, who's going to let Janet into that finals, you know? And she, you know, and she thinks she has this idol. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have the idol, you know, because Dean's got his idol nullifier, which he's definitely playing. And, you know, to that degree, I do think that the calculus of Dan getting pulled changes a lot, because it basically completely invalidates Janet's idol, right? There's one chance for Janet to play her idol. There's one chance for Dean to nullify that idol. Mm-hmm. So that's 100% happening. And Janet's almost certainly getting voted out.
Well, that is, unless that the women end up sticking together and saying, we have to knock out Tommy.
But if Janet is considered the biggest threat to win, why would you do that? I mean, it doesn't look like anyone right now is more concerned about Tommy than, you know, it sounds like maybe Tommy is, you know, third or fourth out there in the threat rankings, with Elaine and Janet at the top, maybe Lauren and Tommy kind of neck and neck. So why, you know, you should 100% take out Janet before you take out Tommy.
I guess so. It depends on from whose perspective we're talking. But yeah, I hate to say it, but I feel like that Janet is really in trouble. And so, boy, Janet's going to lose over Dean Flip the Coin.
I mean, actually, it sounds like it. It really looks like that might be the case, because she would 100% get into the final four. She's referred a couple times to being a really strong fire maker, right? Mm-hmm. So it's likely she would have been able to make fire. And, you know, coin flip is no, Janet wins this season. Coin flip is yes. Looks like Janet might be fifth place.
Wow. Steven, do you feel like that Lauren has a shot to be the winner.
Yeah, everyone says that Lauren, you know, like I said, like, you know,
what
before,
does she need to do? Give me this scenario for the Lauren win.
Well, so last week, it sure looked like Lauren was a bigger threat than Tommy, right? Because before Lauren won immunity, she was the person that that old Lyra alliance wanted to take out. Mm-hmm. So it's conceivable that if Lauren is there with Tommy and Nora, then she could win. It's also certainly conceivable that if Lauren is there with Dean and Nora, that she could win. Assuming Nora is definitely making it to the final three right now, right? Which I think is a fair assumption.
Lauren makes it to the final three?
Nora makes it to the final three.
Nora makes it to the final three. Yeah, unless everybody just comes back around and wants to vote out Nora, but that does seem very improbable.
I don't think you waste the last vote of the game on Nora. You know, and I think that's why there was some urgency about tonight. Obviously, they didn't know that the final six vote was going to be eliminated, but the danger is, as you get down to those last couple of votes, you're just never going to spend them on Nora. And so, you know, I don't think there's any chance that they vote out Nora next week.
Steven, if Janet ends up losing the game and getting voted out at the final five when she was one round away from being able to get into the final four fire making, I think that I have a solution.
No more fire making?
Final five fire making. That way you give a chance to the person who would have won the game, who gets voted out at final five, a shot to be able to prove themselves.
Yeah. What if it's not? But, you know, we've already got a Final Four fire making challenge. What if it's a different thing at Final Five? You know, it's like hugging. You know, Janet's so good at hugging.
She's good at hugging.
Yeah.
Final Five fire making challenge and then go back and vote at four.
That's actually a kind of fun idea. That's actually really good. I like that.
Do that. Yeah. Maybe
so that's going to Samoa. Yeah.
You got to get through the fire making and then you can get back to voting people out.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
So there's a little bit of a curveball. Dean had a big episode. I really thought that I get thrown off by the edit very easily, Steven. Dean, I thought when he went to the Island of the Idols and then I said, oh, Dean's getting voted off in this episode.
I thought this was such a fun episode for Dean. I mean, I know we don't like Dean, but I kind of like Dean.
I mean,
like,
Dean, look, listen, we have people not to like.
That's the
Dean's
thing.
Fine.
It's like, yeah,
Dean's
it's like,
fine. Oh, yeah. He's a goof. We're very acceptable. We love Dean.
He's he's a goof, but he also, what's great about Dean is that he also has like legitimately fun, interesting strategies. I mean, Rob couldn't contain himself at the fake, you know, the fake copy of the fake legacy advantage. I mean, yeah. the fake of the fake. And, you know, the fact that he's aware that the legacy advantage might be fake, but still realizes that he needs to use it for good theatrics, you know, for the jury. The idea, and obviously, the idea of having all the votes piled on you, even when you don't know that it's a real legacy advantage, is very dangerous. But he's thinking about what he needs to do to win the jury over. And I think that's really impressive. You know, it's such a big idol focused game these days. We've certainly talked about it a lot, you know, with Devin's last season, how so much of Devin's, love from the jury was his flamboyance at tribal council. So for Dean to be aware of that, you know, we talked about it with Karishma as well, 2 weeks ago, but one thing I love about Dean is he's thinking like, I've played this low key game. How do I have this real theatrical close?
Yeah. Dean's got big ideas. He's got big ideas. And look, Survivor loves it when you have big ideas because they also love it when your big idea falls flat on your face. And, you know, we were robbed of that at the final six with Dean playing the fake legacy advantage. Or he already played the fake. This would have been just the regular fake. But yeah, he's had some big moments in the season, Dean. Steven, did you like the move for Dean here at Final Seven to flip the coin to win an advantage and learn the ultimate lesson of jury management? Maybe Steven, if you would have been better at coin flipping
coins, I know
that you would be the winner of Survivor Token Chains.
I knew there was something I was missing. I mean, you know, I actually felt like the lesson that Rob gave was really good. It was, you have to take credit for the moves. You have to make sure that people know the game you're playing.
Yeah,
you
have to make a story.
Tell us that the storytelling aspect of it. You've certainly talked about that a lot in the past for how to win this game. The coin flip element seemed like not only a little bit divorced from that, but almost like opposite to some of their lessons that they've already been teaching us along the way. It's like, don't rush into things, be aware.
I really think that Rob was trying to get Dean to do it and was ready to pounce when he lost the coin flip. Like, Dean, what are you doing? Why are you flipping a coin at the final seven? What's the matter with you? I really thought, because he was like, hey, come on, you got to do it. It's a 50-50 shot. I thought Rob was really like enticing him to do it and then was ready to like... come down hard on him, but he won. You risked it to get the biscuit.
Wow. Yeah. And there was such a funny little interlude where Dean was talking about the legacy advantage and Rob and Sandra were trying to keep it together. Then you had them like urging Dean to do this coin flip I'm curious if now Dean, who I think probably is in the final three, right? It seems like with all likelihood, it's either Tommy Lauren and Nora or Tommy Dean and Nora. What if his whole pitch is I flipped a coin because of what Rob told him?
Yeah. So flip a coin and decide whether or not you should vote for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rob, you still got the yes, no coin? Steven, if you were Tommy, what would be your ideal final three? Now, I talked about Dan as being like maybe the biggest, with all the talk of the GOAT army, Dan being a huge, huge GOAT because of his controversy, because of his, occupation, his wealth. So I thought he was a great person to want to sit there. If you were one of the players, Steven, if you're Tommy now, what do you want to do? How do you set this up for a Tommy win?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Nora is your lock. I think Nora and Dean is the best thing for Tommy, because Dean, you know, as Tommy was suggesting today, has not been perceived to do very much. And, you know, he sort of, as Dean admitted and Tommy said, just sort of sits on the beach and hangs out and has his beautiful smile. It seems like a lot of the other contestants don't particularly love him. You know, he didn't really seem to get along with the old Lyros. He didn't really seem to connect that deeply with many of the old Vokai other than Tommy himself. So I feel like he's the guy who's got the least connections of anyone out there. My dream, if I'm Tommy, is go with Nora and Dean.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he probably loses to Janet and... you know, I've gone back. I think I may have done a 180 on this. I think he'll lose to Lauren now.
I think it's very possible. I mean, I can also see him beating Lauren, you know, if he has like a really strong finish. But everything out there has suggested that Lauren wins. And, you know, for being such a huge guy, it's not like Tommy has this history or this legacy of, you know, really like, of challenge wins or of you know, it's not like what they've talked about him as his physical threat, but has he won a challenge yet?
No, he has not.
Yeah. I want a challenge.
He won the family reward. He was part of the family reward.
Well, the family reward, sure, with Janet, though. Yes. Yeah, Janet dragging him to victory. Yeah. Tommy and his mommy.
Yeah, Tommy and mommy. So it would be really hard to, as you look at over at the jury, to say who are the, you know, guaranteed Tommy votes that are over there.
Yeah.
So, it could shape up in an interesting way. Elaine ends up going out here. Steven, it looks like this was, to me, I think one of the biggest send-offs that Survivor has ever... I mean, this was like a Suri-esque send-off for Elaine tonight.
Yeah. And I actually, like, as much as I've loved Elaine throughout the season, I thought this was even like almost like boring. I mean, and maybe they were sort of like building the emotional drama of it because of the horrible negativity that was immediately to follow. But
I don't know. That seemed like it called more attention to it, that it was like, let's build, you know, build this up higher, 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 and then bring you right back down with the damn thing.
But I thought it was really beautiful, you know, and it really emphasized what is great about the show, which is that people go out there not just to like get their faces on television and not just for the money, but also to really test themselves against this grueling experience, this incredibly difficult game. And they come away with something that's really meaningful in many cases, you know, a really transformative, powerful life experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, you know, that Elaine kind of coming to terms or wrestling with the loss of her mother showed through the lens of what is, you know, it's a reality TV game show. But the fact that it can have so powerful an experience for Elaine, I did think showed some of the best of why we love this show in spite of
Yeah.
All the crap that comes with it.
Right. Elaine really has an incredible story. If you have never listened to Elaine's interview with Josh Wigler in the first one out interviews from this season, she goes into it and all the hardships that she's faced. I was really taken aback by what she talked about, how like basically nothing good has ever happened to her other than getting on the show. And then to basically, while you're out here, anything can happen. The dream's still alive. Once she's here, once the torch goes out, then the dream is gone. And I would beg to differ for Elaine that I don't think that the dream is over for Elaine. And I do believe that there are still good things to come for Elaine.
You think she can become an Instagram influencer?
Instagram influencer, Sia money. I think that there are other
positives. Oh, yeah, how is Sia going to decide who gets the money? There's a lot of deserving Sia contestants.
No, I think Elaine, it was pretty much sealed. Elaine will be back to play again tonight.
Yes, I agree. And I mean, the journey is not over for Elaine in terms of her survivor journey, I think for sure. But also, you know, as Janet said, you know, this is something you're going to get through. And, you know, this is not just about the experience you can have on a reality TV game show. It's also about, you know, gaining the strength, you know, personally to confront this outside of the,
Right. You don't know what's going to happen. Millions of people know who Elaine Stott is now after this experience and this incredible send off that she got from the show. And it's a shame that it had to be overshadowed by everything, all of this story with Dan. And, regrettable, but people aren't going to forget about Elaine.
Yeah.
I thought that's she was a really good player, too, Steven. I thought that she was not the best player in the season. I thought that she really made a bad move to go and vote out Missy when that was presented to her. Missy wanted to vote out Tommy. Instead, she said, oh, no, I'll never vote you out, Big Red. I'm going to vote out Missy at this spot. I think that was clear. I thought it was the wrong move at the time. It clearly ended up not helping her in the game. But overall, I thought she had some good game skills.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, I think what this season has really, at its best, really had is a number of players who are good. You know, they're like good, and they're not necessarily great, but they're all out there. They're like big characters who are out there playing the game as best they can. And I think that's, you know, for me, like, obviously, we all love like one or two like brilliant strategists, but it can become, you know, I think a little leaden when it's all brilliant strategists, but when there's a good balance of like big personalities, big characters who are still, you know, trying to play, you know, and I think that's really where the sweet spot is for the show. We're still like doing their best to play this game, who are making moves, who are seeking out advantages. And I think that there are quite a few of those people on this season.
Yeah. And as the tribal council was going on, I thought that Lauren was going to pull off that move and she was going to be able to get, it was going to be Lauren, Janet, Elaine, and then Dan, unbeknownst to Dan, voting. It really had all the makings of being a really great all-time survivor move. We don't know necessarily if the strategy behind it was sound, but it would have been a very flashy move to pull off. And Steven, I was really sort of struck by like, hey, how awesome is this? A big move is happening and there's no idol. There's no advantage. This is like an old school, like Suri 3-2-1 type move that was almost pulled off tonight.
Yeah, the Dr. Sean, you know, for his, didn't he sort of take advantage of...
Yeah, that he's voting. Okay, well, we know he's voting for Jenna tonight, so let's pile all the votes on to Jenna also.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. So, yeah, I feel like that Lauren was robbed of the chance to make a really big move tonight.
Yeah, it would have been a really good, fun move that did sort of, you know, fundamentally shift the game. What did you think of, speaking of Nora, what did you think of her strategy to spin in circles? My hope was that it was going to help her in the spinning in circles challenge that immediately followed.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Do you think she got a heads up? Had she visited the Island of the Idols?
She knew that she's going to have to spin in circles.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's go ahead and let's bring in some of your questions to talk about everything that's going on here as we are 1 week away from the finale. Let me quickly thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Steven, I know that you love books.
I do.
Do you have any favorite fairy tales?
I mean, all of the Grimm's, you know, fairy tales are great. You know, the anything with like a witch and a house is always fun. You know, I love the one with like the ribbon. You know, Carmen Maria Machado, the novelist or the writer, I should say, has a wonderful recapitulation of the fairy tale of Bluebeard, and those are some of mine.
Those are Stephen loves many fairy tales. Well, Stephen, you will love the new season of Kevin Williamson's Tell Me a Story, where he's going to take the world of most well-known fairy tales and reimagining them as a dark and twisted psychological thriller, exploring an entirely new set of characters. This season is going to feature three legendary stories, Beauty and the Beast, Sleeping Beauty, and Cinderella. That's what drew me into Tell Me a Story, streaming December 5th exclusively on CBS All Access. The show stars the incredible Paul Wesley, best known for his role in The Vampire Diaries, and also stars Danielle Campbell from The Originals and Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix and Jessica Jones. The new season was shot on location in Nashville, which means there is original music woven into the stories that you won't want to miss. So sign up today at CBS All Access by going to cbs.com/rob. Get your first week of CBS All Access for free and stream the new season of Tell Me a Story December 5th. That's cbs.com/rob and get your first week of CBS All Access for free only at cbs.com/rob.
That's what I was talking about, was like new twists on classic fairy tales. It's such a great, it's such like a fertile ground, you know, for storytelling. So it sounds like a great show.
Okay. All right. Let's start off with a question here from Sarah. Sarah says, what a great episode. I feel like this season has the most emotional tribal councils ever. A great episode for Dean. My question is, why isn't Tommy getting targeted? I feel like he's the biggest target out there. I suspect that this tweet was written at 8:57. From Sarah. Why isn't Tommy getting targeted? What's Tommy doing right that he is avoiding being targeted, Stephen?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I really think this is like the difference between the edit and the game. You know, I think that we're seeing a story that's based, my presumption is that Tommy wins. I'm not spoiled at all on that. I think we're seeing a story that's told from that perspective. So we're seeing how great Tommy is all the time. To the players out there, he could just be nothing, you know, just another guy. You know, he's just another guy. He hasn't won immunities. He hasn't had any like giant plays.
But don't those two things need to link up? So if you're saying that, like, okay, well, we're just being shown that Tommy is great because he's getting winners at it. Well, then obviously then he thus must win. So don't these two things need to sort of end up dovetailing into one of that he is a good player?
Well, if you think that winning inherently makes someone a good player, then he will become a good player regardless of what he's done beforehand on day 39 when he gets the votes. But if you don't think that winning inherently makes someone a good player, and I'm not saying Tommy isn't a good player, like he's really controlled. You know, he seems to have had like a really dominant force in his alliance. He's been allies with almost everyone. You know, I think he was almost voted out next week. The fact that he wasn't is a testament to the social bonds he made. I'm just saying
the best you could say about Tommy is I think that he has been an incredible social player and
yes.
has formed a lot of trust with many different players to the point where people make moves that are against their own best interest to keep their trust with Tommy.
I mean, the only thing my broader point was that to the players out there, he might not seem to be as massive a threat as he seems to be to us. You know, we have seen a lot of the social ties that he has. But when you're out there, you know, you see everyone kind of scuttling off into the woods with everyone.
You're right. I totally can understand how the players out there do not find the 6'4" fourth grade teacher in great shape. Incredibly threatening right now. I mean, how could they? Kaiser Soze.
Well, listen, he hasn't played an idol. Basically, everyone left there has played an idol, right? Lauren's played an idol. Janet's played an idol. Elaine's played an idol. Has Tommy been to Island of the Idols yet?
No.
I think he's the only one who hasn't left in the game, basically. Am I right? That now with Dan gone, he's the only one?
That's right.
So, you know, that makes him inherently less threatening because he hasn't like touched the magic of that source. And so I think that there's as big and tall as Tommy are, there's a lot of big tall players who weren't necessarily threats.
Okay.
All right. Like Ben from Survivor Samoa. Mm-hmm. Hugely tall. That guy was like 6'6".
Wait, what are you saying about
I don't know, just being tall doesn't make you necessarily a jury threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Steven, here's a question from Alec. What does Alec have to say?
Alec wants to know, now that we yada yada the final six, Dean thinks he still pulled off a great move by faking the legacy advantage. Do you think he will ironically be labeled as a threat and voted out because he now looks like a gamer?
I don't think that Dean ends up getting voted out as a threat. Although Tommy was starting to hype that up. No chance that Dean ends up going out at five, right?
I just think they're not going to miss the shot they have at Elaine. I don't think that there's any chance.
Janet.
I mean, Janet, thank you. Yeah, Janet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think there's any chance that Janet is not the person. Unless Janet wins immunity, I don't think she has any shot next episode. And she might feel less urgency about winning immunity because of her idol. In fact, she might even deliberately not win immunity because an idol play is a bigger jury move. So she might feel so much certainty that I could see that happening.
I hate to say it, but did Dean make the right call on idol nullifier out of the three choices? I believe he had an idol nullifier, an extra vote, and an immunity idol you could only use on somebody else. What is that?
Yeah. And he knew we also saw him like seeing Janet and Tommy with the idol. So he had a pretty good suspicion that one of them and likely Janet had the idol because he noticed that
Janet was showing something to Tommy. Did he catch?
Yeah, why did Tommy have to see? No, he was like, let me see it. And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, why did he have to like right there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And out in the open, in the middle of a field.
I don't know. Okay. Brian has a question. Spinning around in circles for hours on a beach, a new strategy for upcoming survivors.
I mean, it didn't help her in the challenge.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? Dean solved the puzzle, too. How about that?
Yeah. I miss what he was saying. Like, he was saying, like, he wasn't even concentrating on what the words were. He was thinking about, like, the spacing of the letters or something. Or something about the G that he said. Or I missed the exact specifics.
Yeah. What was the quote for the puzzle? Your mind will get the best of you.
I don't remember. Yeah,
This
game will mess with your mind.
This game will mess with your mind. I thought that we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel of the Jeff catchphrases.
That's not an all of fixins.
It's not. I really feel like we're running out of the Jeffisms.
Yeah. All right. Thomas wants to know, considering how many people have visited Boston Rob and Sandra and know about their influence on the game, is it really smart or too risky to not tell the rest of the tribe the truth about the Island of the Idols?
Yeah. The Dean lying about this on day 34, day 35, it was really, we're doing this?
Well, we didn't really see him lying. I mean, we saw him lying about the specifics of, he said he lost the coin flip when in fact he won the coin flip. We didn't really see him lying about the existence of Rob and Sandra. I'm assuming that everyone knows right now, since the only people who didn't know at that point, right, were allegedly Dan and Tommy. And let's assume that they know.
Yeah, let's assume. Okay. This is a good question from Matt. Wants to know, how did Dean get his shoes back? Boy,
yeah.
Steven, how far we've come from Holly Hoffman taking a different survivor, Dan's alligator shoes, and throwing them in the river, to Nora saying, I'm going to take Dean's shoes and put them someplace where it'll be inconvenient for him. He'll have to get a stick to reach them.
Slightly inconvenient, but it's not like she even hid them. Like, incredibly conspicuous and like the most central part of our tribe camp.
Yeah, has this been a storyline that's been on the cutting room floor about Dean's new love affair with his shoes? Chelsea's gone, so now his shoes are his showmance?
Shoemance? Yeah. Shoemance.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Okay. All right.
All right, Zrank wants to know. Oh, great, great picture, great profile picture. Who is the number one goat? Is that greatest of all time or like a Billy Goat?
I mean, it's
goat?
Nora. I don't think that this is a tough question right now.
Yeah, it's Nora.
Yeah, maybe a couple of weeks ago that this was trickier to answer, but no, it's definitely Nora. Steven, is there a scenario where Nora can win?
No,
I don't think so. You know, once upon a time, it seemed like that it was possible, but you know, we're running out of, she could sit there with Dean, but I don't know who the third person she sits there with for the win.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, I don't see anyone. What if she
wins out and makes the fire?
No, still no.
Hmm.
I just think, you know, it's regardless of Nora's intrinsic virtues, I think that the group sort of collectively makes decisions, right, about people's value. And it's hard to sway those this late in the game, I think, unless you really have a pretty impressive run and or you're next to someone who they really dislike. And so, or both of those things.
Yeah, you're
so
not wrong.
I think that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a question from James. Did Elaine reveal too much during Tribal Council, talking about how much of a threat she was, then revealing the fact that she lost her mom, allowing herself to become an even bigger threat to win the game? Yeah, Steven, I was sitting there like, oh, whoa, slow down, Elaine. Save this for day 39. But was Elaine just completely convinced she's not making it to day 39?
I think there was that. But also, like, her whole point was, I'm such a threat. Like, the reason you're not voting me out is because I'm such a threat. I mean, that was her whole pitch, right? It was a little bit counterintuitive. You know, it's not typically what people say when they're trying not to get voted out. But her whole pitch was like, I'm a giant threat, so I'll never make it to the end. Vote out Nora, who's not that big a threat. And because if you don't vote her out now, she's taking your seat at the end.
Yeah.
So I thought the fact that she was like upping her threat level didn't really hurt her, because that was like the entire justification for keeping her.
You know, Elaine's arc on this season began with Ronnie and Aaron saying, like, oh, we gotta get out of Elaine. Ronnie said, Elaine, if she makes it to day 39, she'll win. We gotta vote her out. You can't let her get. And he was right. You know, he wasn't wrong. And Elaine said at that first tribal council, like, well, can't we just do it later? Can't we, you know, we have to do it now. Like, can't you wait a little bit? And so, you know, it was a good arc overall for Elaine to come this close. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a great winning strategy. Like, let's just do it later. Like, just vote me out, but vote me out later. Had that managed to get her to the end, she would be a hashtag game changer for sure.
If she played with enough procrastinators, then let's do one or two more questions, Scott. About this one from Tammy?
All right. Tammy wants to know, do you think Dean has been throwing immunity challenges so he can make a run at the end? This is like a persistent issue that comes up every single time, like, an athletic person, usually an athletic guy, loses pretty badly at immunity challenges. It's always like speculation that they're secretly throwing. And he, like, I remember War Dog last season, like, it was like, he's War Dog sandbagging again. And typically the answer is no. No, people do not do that.
Yeah, I don't believe that that's the case, because he wasn't good in the pre-merge.
Yeah.
You know, if you were going to do that, like, do you throw challenges in the early part of the game also?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, Dean has been, there have been many opportunities for Dean to be voted out. It would be really not the best strategic decision for him to throw challenges.
Especially, like, his thing was that he was a basketball player. Missy was, you know, angry with him earlier in the season about how, you know, hey, if you're, say you're good at basketball, like, make baskets. Like, I think that's pretty fan fiction-y. Let's take a question from Andy. Is there any chance they use the extra day / challenge that they have on hand to make this a final two? I think that's very unlikely.
Yeah, that seems unlikely, especially with, I don't even know how that would work with fire making.
Yeah. If anything, I could see them doing, I mean, I don't know if they would throw a challenge together or what, but come up with some sort of a either another visit to the Island of the Idols or some sort of like a Michelle Fitzgerald-esque vote somebody out of the jury.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's what's going on. All right, Steven, let me tell you about what else we have coming up this week on RHAP. Over on News AF, Steven, I know you're into the artwork. Tyson Danny, I got you too confused, my Token Cheese friends. Tyson Danny and I talked about the $120,000 banana duct taped to the wall.
Yeah.
Check that out on the latest News AF. And then, of course, check out Bryce on the latest Purple Pants podcast. They had Steven, you left the East Coast and they decided to do a holiday party now.
I know, thank God, right? Like, my timing has been so perfect for everything.
Yeah.
So, get out before all the lunatics come in.
Yeah, Bryce got to meet Suri. Check that all out on the Purple Pants podcast for this week. Then, of course, Brent, Taryn, and Judd from BB15 talked about the latest episode of Sequester. Be sure to check that out on robiswebsite.com. And then I'll have an exit interview with Elaine tomorrow morning. So looking forward to talking with Elaine and hearing about everything that's going on. And I'm very excited that we have a really great guest to talk about this endgame with. He did the last episode of the season recap for The Edge of Extinction, and he's back. Your friend and mine, Christian Hubicki, Stephen.
He is such a nice guy. I really can't say enough things. He's such like a genuine, sincere, sweet human being.
He really is.
And every time I talk to him, I'm just like blown away by like, you know, like this angelic presence that he was on the show. He's in real life too.
He really is the best. So looking forward to that. And then I was headed to Long Island this weekend. So I was going to go meet up in person with another mutual friend, Dominic Abate. I'll talk to him over on, I'll be podcasting with him in person on Long Island this weekend.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah, so...
are you going to be at his place or is he coming to yours?
Well, I don't want to say where we're going to be, but I'm...
An undisclosed location.
I'll be traveling east. We'll put it that way. So that's what's going on. And then Puya Zambakili is going to be on the B&B this week to talk about things with Mike and Liana, playing some games. So be on the lookout for that as well. And then we'll talk about why Elaine lost on with David Bloom and Jessica Lewis coming up this weekend as well. So be on the lookout. And then on this week in Survivor, Megan Z will join us to talk about everything that's going on and take the This Week in Survivor history quiz. So be on the lookout for that. Robinswebsite.com/merch for all of your RHAP apparel that if you're looking for. Robinswebsite.com/merch. And then, of course, check out Robinswebsite.com/patron for more information about everything we're doing behind the scenes of Robin's podcast, our patron only podcast feed, and our patron Facebook community at Robinswebsite.com/patron. All right. Stephen. Anyway, 1 week to go until the finale.
Thank God, Rob. I just am so excited to like close the door on this just awful, gross season. And hopefully, you know, I don't know. Hopefully what? Like, hope it's just so... Anyway.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. This has been, the most challenging season for me in terms of covering Survivor, and just, one person really, created so much chaos in this season.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hopefully that this does change the way, you know, I think Jeff alluded to them changing their protocols and hopefully, you know,
it doesn't
get this far. You know, like this was episode one or whatever, where Kelly was talking about this inappropriate touching, and the fact that it continued for over a month, you know, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. And hopefully if there's anything good that comes out of it, hopefully it's that never, ever, ever happens again.
Yeah, they've got to get this whole thing in order, because I do believe that this is an existential issue for the show, and that I have to hope with all this attention that nothing like this ever, ever happens again on the show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the fact that there's more qualified people than me to talk about it, and I'm sure they will, you know, we'll hopefully be hearing from their perspectives and getting more insight in the future, but it's a dark mark for the show. It's a dark mark for the network, and hopefully they can, you know, find a way to do something positive out of it. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we will discuss this more as we go along here over this upcoming week leading up to the finale. We'll be back with finale coverage of this season coming up 1 week from tonight. Thanks, everybody, hanging in there with us this season. I know that that most people that I've spoken to, that this is not their favorite season of the show. Many people have really struggled to enjoy it, but you know, Survivor has been an important part of their lives and of ours. And we really appreciate you sticking it out here with us through one more week of Island of the Idols. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye. Survivor, no way to...